thomasofgod.net.
Hello, Brother Thomas.
Hey, Sister Mary.
Brother Thomas, in Romans 3 and 23, the Bible says that the wages of our sin is death.
That's correct.
But last week you stated that death means the stopping or ceasing of the operation or process of an object.
That's correct. Death means to cease, whether it's an object or a program or whatever it may be. It means to cease or to stop all progress.
Then you applied it to God's promise to give man eternal life. But because of Adam and Eve's decision to not accept God's promise, in fact, they chose the opposite, which is death.
Yes.
So because of that choice, God began to cease all processes that were already in action to give man eternal life?
Uh-huh.
Okay, then that's when God began the first death process, which was to remove Adam and Eve from their bodies. This process is the aging process. And then, through death, fully extract us from our bodies, which were originally meant for us to live in eternally with God. Now, the second death process is to remove us from this earth, upon which originally we were to live in our bodies for eternity. God does this by what we call physical death. When our body takes its last breath, we, that is our spirit, is separated from our body and carried by angels, taken from the surface of this earth, never to return or to experience God's creation again. The Bible speaks of this in Luke 16, where angels carried the beggar after his death to Abraham's bosom. In 2 Peter 3:10 through 12, the Bible tells us the earth will be destroyed. All this is God's original promise of eternal life in reverse, because Adam and Eve chose to not accept God's plan to live with him eternally.
That's correct.
The third and last process of death is to remove man from God's presence, the God we were created to live with for all eternity. This death and eternal separation from God is accomplished by placing man in the lake of fire.
That's correct. That's what the book of Revelation speaks of, and after the last days.
But, Brother Thomas, can you apply this to Christ?
Yes, Sister Mary, but before I do, I want to make sure we have a clear understanding about how that man's salvation through Christ's death must come in the form of a gift, and why it cannot be anything earned. Remember, God made a promise to man before time began, and that verse can be found in Titus 1:2, in which it also makes a statement that God, who cannot lie. So if God made a promise that comes in the form of a gift, it must stay in the form of a gift, and it cannot be changed. Otherwise, God would be a liar, and he would not keep his word. If you pay for something, that object you paid for is not a gift. A gift must cost the giver the full price, but the receiver of the gift pays nothing. But Adam and Eve's disobedient choice has reversed things, and now our sins stand between us acquiring eternal life. So sin keeps us from acquiring God's promise of eternal life. Now, if the payment of our sins could be earned, then eternal life would be acquired by works and would no longer come in the form of a gift, which would then mean God did not keep his promise, or that to give man eternal life in the form of a gift. So what Christ did for us must come in the form of a gift. So if the payment of our sins comes as a gift, then acquiring eternal life would still be in the form of a gift, and God would be true to his word and a keeper of his promise. So you see, any obstacle that comes between us and eternal life must be removed by the form of a gift, or eternal life does not remain a gift. Now, we know that there is something that lives in the flesh of our body. According to Romans 7:17-18, which says this, "Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." This thing that lives in our flesh, this is what I call the spirit of disobedience. Paul also called it that old man. And there are some theologians that call it that sin nature. They call sin, or the spirit of disobedience as I call it, lives in our bodies. The body must die or cease to exist simply because of the choice that Adam and Eve made in the beginning by not choosing to live with God for eternity. Now, this usually happens today by aging or allowing the body to come to its full decaying process until it just breaks down or stops functioning, just like an old car. But with Christ, he allowed his body to bleed till it ceased to function. Now, blood is the life of our flesh, and this can be found in Leviticus 17:11, where it says, "For the life of the flesh is the blood." The blood carries oxygen to all parts of the body, and it carries oxygen to every single inch of our flesh, which gives life to the flesh. But if you were to take a string and tie it around your finger and keep it tight around that finger, you would see your finger begin to turn blue, and it would begin to lose feeling. And if you kept it like that, it would sooner or later turn black until the flesh on that finger would die, in which then you'd have to have that part of the finger removed. So Christ allowed his body to bleed until his body no longer functioned, just like letting a car run out of gas. So Christ allowed himself to be cut by a whip that is called the cat of nine tails. Now, the cat of nine tails was a whip that had leather thongs on it, and at the end of each one of these leather thongs was usually tied bits of bone, glass, or metal, so that as the strips wrapped around the body and then the whipper would pull it back, it would dig down into the flesh and pull and open up that person's body. Now, and let's see, where's that can be found? In John, the Gospel of John 19, verse 1, it says, "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him." The second death, or ceasing the process of eternity that Christ had to experience in our behalf, was the separation of himself from his body. The very same thing we must experience because of the reversal of God's plan for man because of Adam and Eve's choice not to enter into an eternal relationship with him. Why? Because our bodies were made for an eternal inhabitant for us with God upon this earth. But since Adam and Eve did not choose eternity, it must be taken from us. Matthew 27:50, it says this, "Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost." In this verse, we see where after Jesus had lost so much blood that his body ceased to function, and so his spirit, or Jesus, was separated from his body. So right there we see two death experiences that Christ had to experience. One is the death of his physical body, and then two, his separation from his body. Now, the next death process that Christ had to experience in our behalf is to be separated from earth. Remember, because of Adam and Eve's choice, the earth must also be taken from us, because it was on earth where we, in our bodies, were to live eternally with God. But where did Christ go after he left his body?
Well, Brother Thomas, we can find that in Matthew 12 and 40. The Bible says Christ went to the center of the earth, where all the Old Testament saints were preserved, waiting for his coming, so that on the third day they would rise from the dead with Christ.
That's right, Sister Mary. Now, the final death, or ceasing of the reversal that Christ had to experience in our behalf as our Savior, was to be separated from God, his Father. Remember, because of Adam and Eve's choice, they chose not to have a relationship with God, or an eternal relationship with God. So that means that we must be separated from him. In Matthew 27:46, it says, "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" In this verse, we read where this took place. Christ cried out with a loud voice, and he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? At this point, God separated himself from his Son. Christ and the Father felt the pain of being separated from one another. The pain and the sorrow could and can still be felt and heard in those last words even today, as we read, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You see, Christ had to be our substitute for us and experience the death penalty in every area where we must experience, so that we do not have to pay our own penalty for our sins, so that our sins are removed for us with all forgiveness. Does that answer your question, Sister Mary?
Yes, Brother Thomas, thank you. If you would like a tape or CD of today's lesson, please write to promiseofgod.net, 545 Big Leaf Road, San Antonio, Texas, 78264. Or email us at t_sal@sbcglobal.net. Or you may call area code 210-626-1416 with your request for any of the broadcast lessons or questions or comments. See you next time at thepromiseofgod.net. ¶¶